Okay. Bismillah. Wassalat wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala ali wa man wala wa ba'd. Today this is our 53rd session reading from Arabic lessons in fiqh. Level 3, al-mustawa thalith, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. 2 weeks ago, I was getting ready to say last week, but I finally got it together. 2 weeks ago in the last session, we started with the topic, the acts which are mustahab, commendable for the fasting person, which in our textbook is under the title, Ma Yastahibbu Lissa'im, on pages 71 and 72. We read that last week from the text from our textbook, level 3, Arabic fiqh. And we also read the notes along with it from Al-Wajiz, Fi Fiqh Al-Sunnah Wal-Kitab Al-Aziz, same topic on pages 202 and 203. Today, inshallah, we want to go back to this subject again. And we want to look at some of our secondary references, other secondary references, Bulugh Maram with the Ta'liq of Sheikh Safi Rahman, Mubarak 40, on page 194. Three hadith that he mentioned related to this topic, 643, or that he comments on, 643, 645, and 646. And we also want to read from Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, his book, Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi, pages 261, or page 261, and maybe 262, should have been probably.
Yeah,
Bulugh
Maram, I think, is
1. Huh? Bulugh Maram is on 192. In my book, it's on page 194. On my book, it could be a different printing. On my book is on page 194. Allahu alam, yani the pages can be different in different printings now. But in any case, it is hadith number 643, 644, and 645. And also, we're going to read from Ikhtiyarat al-Sheikh al-Albani on page 227, point number 16, and maybe another point, I'm not really sure according to time. Fiqh al-Ibadat al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, pages 268 and 269. And the reason why I'm mentioning these references is because we may not have time to read from all of them, right? But at least, yani, I hope that we'll try to go back to look at these references and benefit from them. Okay, from what we read 2 weeks ago, we mentioned from our textbook a number of things that are mustahab for the fasting person. Who can tell me any one of them? Naam.
As-suhur.
As-suhur. Another one.
Ta'akhir.
Ta'akhir. As-suhur. Yani delaying it until just before the break of dawn. Musa. As-siwak, naam. Back here, Waleed. Al-futur, hastening to break the fast immediately once you know that the sun has set. Naam.
Al-du'a
and al-futur or khila, yani athna al-siyam. Naam.
Can we say
iftar? Iftar, naam. Yeah, iftar, naam, at the time of breaking fast. Anything else? Oh, yani, breaking the fast with fresh dates, or dry dates, or water. Anything else? Anything we missed? Okay, because they mentioned, 9, 10 things? A suhoor, delaying the suhoor, hastening the futur, breaking the fast with fresh dates, dry dates, water, dua at the time of breaking the fast, a siwak, being charitable and studying the Quran, and ijtihad fil ibadat, yani more worship, and also last thing they mention, taftir as-sa'imin. Taftir as-sa'imin, yani feeding a fasting person. You have a question? Naam.
Regarding making dua before iftar, is it from sunnah?
Making dua before iftar, yani at the time of breaking fast? When you say before, do you mean before, like you're getting ready to break fast, before you break fast, making dua?
Like 3-4 minutes before, 5 minutes before. But they say like this is one of the best times to make dua.
Okay, so there are two things that we mentioned last week. In the book it mentions dua at the time of breaking fast, and I also noted that the hadith in At-Tirmidhi that mentions this, yani, there are two wordings in different printings of the hadith of At-Tirmidhi. one of the wordings came the way it's written, the handwritten manuscript, يعني حين يفطر, at the time of breaking the fast. And the other one, the wording is written instead of حين حتى يفطر, until you break fast, meaning while you're fasting. So yes, while you're fasting, 3 minutes before, 5 minutes before, 1 hour before, while you're fasting, it's sunnah to supplicate. Now, or at the time of breaking fast, both of them are correct. Now,
Sahih, right?
Sahih. Naam, yani when a person is fasting, it's also from the sunnah. If somebody abuses you verbally, yani that you say to them 2 times, I'm fasting. Naam, ya Umar.
No,
it's not from the sunnah for the people to make dua in congregation at the time of breaking fast. That's not from the sunnah for sure. There's no proof for this, yani dua in congregation. The dua in congregation, it would not be yani permissible to do so unless there's a proof for doing it, like the dua of the khatib in the day of Jumu'ah when he's giving the khutbah. Naam. But otherwise, dua in jama'ah, yani, should be something that's legislated. At the time of breaking fast, I don't know that there's any proof, any clear proof for making dua in jama'ah at the time of breaking fast. Rather, every person should make. And if you look at the supplication of the Prophet ﷺ, it's in the singular. So it appears as though the dua is in yani, each person individually. Wallahu a'lam. In any case, we have a lot to cover today. That was from what we mentioned last week. Inshallah, if we come across the topic in today's subject from the second day, then we may like go a little bit further. But let's try to do a little bit of what we had for today. And the time is quite limited. Okay, so from Bulugh Muram, I just want to read a couple of comments. Just a couple of comments from Bulugh Muram, the commentary of Sheikh Safi Rahman Mubarak Fouri. Rahimahullah, Rahmatan Wasiya. And in my book on page 194, Hadith number 643 and 644 عن سهل بن سعد رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجلوا الفطر متفق عليه. يعني the سهل بن سعد, may Allah be pleased with both of them, him and his father, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said the people will remain upon خير as long as they do what? Hasten in breaking the fast. Hasten in breaking the fast. Yani without delay, when the sun has set, hasten in breaking the fast. This hadith is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. In the commentary, Sheikh Safi Rahman Mubarak Fouri said, Ajil al-Fitr, he means a ta'jil, yani the word ajil is from ta'jil, that is, ba'da tahakkuk ghurub al-shams. Yani a person should hasten in breaking the fast once they are certain that the sun has set. Don't be hasty and you don't even be sure that the sun has set. But بعد تحقق, when you are sure that the sun has set, then do not delay. And then he says, وَإِنَّمَا جَعَلَ التَّعْجِيلِ خَيْرًا وَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ لِأَنَّهُ شِعَارٌ يُفَرِّقْ بَيْنَ الصِّيَامِ أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ وَلِأَنَّهُ أَرْفَقْ بِالْعِبَادِ وَأَيْسَرُ لَهُمْ. And this is a very important comment that the Shaykh rahimahullah he makes here. He said that the reason why hastening to break the fast has been mentioned as something that's khair, is good, and is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is because hastening to break the fast is shi'arun yufarrik bayna siyam ahlul islam wa ahlul kitab. This is one of the signs, one of the manifestations of Islam that distinguishes the fasting of the people of Islam from the people of the book. Yani this is a distinguishing feature of Islam, that we hasten to break the fast once we know that the time has come. And also because it is arfaq, yani it is easier for the people, and it is aysar for them, yani it is better for them and it is easier for them to not delay breaking the fast any further than Allah has made obligatory upon us. والقيام والشعار والأخذ بالتيسير شريعة وعدم التعنت في الأمور معلوم الخير وبركة ولا يحتاج إلى بيان وتوضيح. And then the Shaykh closes his comment on this hadith saying that والقيام بالشعار. القيام بالشعار يعني fulfilling these things with our, which are the shi'ar of Islam, the signs of Islam, the manifestations of Islam, of Allah's law. Fulfilling these things and taking the easier way is from the Sharia. Yani this is part of the Sharia of Allah. And also, adam at-ta'annut. Yani, what is ta'annut? Adam at-ta'annut fil umur ma'alum al-khayr wa baraka. Yani ta'annut means going to the extreme. Going to the extreme in things. Ta'annut. Yani not going to the extreme in affairs. This is known to be something that is good, and there's barakah, doesn't require clarification. Meaning that in Islam we know that yani going to the extreme in things is not from the Sharia, and there's no khair in it, and there's no barakah. Rather, the barakah and the khair is in doing what Allah has legislated, not going to extremes. Allah legislated that you break the fast when the sun has set, when you are sure the sun has set. Yani somebody, let's wait another 10 or 15 minutes to be sure. Yani we just want to make sure. This is not from the Sharia. Rather, this is from the way of the people of deviation. Yani who? They are the people who, they don't break the fast until it's completely dark in the sky. Shia. They say we don't break the fast until it's completely dark, until you see the stars shining in the sky at night. Also, the next hadith, the Shaykh, he says, yani under this hadith, لِلْتِرْمِذِي مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَحَبُّ عِبَادِي إِلَيَّ أَعْجَلُهُمْ فِطْرًا. It's reported by Tirmidhi and Ahmed and others. Yani the meaning of it is that Abu Huraira says that the Prophet said that Allah Azza wa Jalla said, the most beloved of my servants to me are those who hasten in breaking the fast. However, Shaykh al-Albani mentions concerning this hadith, the one that is reported by Tirmidhi, he said, "Fi Hurra ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Ma'afiri al-Misri wal-Jumhur ala tada'ifihi." Yani the majority of the scholars said that this narrator, in the chain of narration of this hadith, the Jumhur of the scholars said that he is da'if. So this hadith, yani the meaning of it, hastening to break the fast, naam, there's no doubt about it, but the hadith itself is not authentic. Hadith number 645, عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسحروا فإن في السهور وثفت السهور بركة بركة متفق عليه. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said يعني take suhoor, يعني take the early dawn, pre-dawn meal if you're intending to fast, for indeed in the sahur with fatah is blessings, barakah, kathratul khair. The Shaykh also comments on this hadith and he says qawlahu as-sahur with fatah, fatah, yani the scene has fatah, is ism lima yu'kal fi sahar qubayl al-fajr. Yani it's the name of what is eaten at the time just before dawn, the time of sahar. Yani the food that's eaten is called sahur with dhamma. The scene with dhamma is the masdar, yani the infinitive, which means the action of taking the pre-dawn meal. Yani sahur is the meal itself, and suhur is the act of taking that meal, in the same way that wadu is the water that's used for ablution, and wudu is the act of performing ablution. So this is also a benefit yani that the Shaykh has brought here. And then the last hadith he mentions, I'll skip this hadith because a little bit, his commentary is a little bit lengthy here. Please read it though. There's certainly some benefit from the comments that he mentions from Ibn Qayyim from Zayd al-Ma'ad about the benefits of the water, as breaking the fast with water and breaking the fast with dates. Both of them have some natural benefit for the human being.
In the book is radiallahu anhu, and this is anna nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is anna rasulullah.
Okay, so the problem here is that, okay, this is a good point. Okay, sometimes there's a variation in the narration of a hadith, in the wording. Bulugh al-Maram is a collection of hadith from primary sources. It's not a primary source. Okay, so our rule is that our rule should be whenever you're narrating a hadith, if it came from a secondary source, like Bulugh Maram, if it came from a secondary source, then you need to always go back to the original source, the primary source, to check the wording. Okay? It sometimes may be in the original source that there's more than one narration with different wording and he chose one of them. Or it may be that actually the original wording may be a little bit different. Okay? So, and you might find some variations sometime, which might be due to various riwayat, or might be just a mistake, yani in the transmission of the hadith. So it's always good to go back to the primary source, and if it says muttafaqun alayhi, go back to Bukhari, go back to Muslim, and see. It might be that the wording that he used is from Bukhari, and the wording in Muslim might be different. Or he might be using the wording from Muslim, and the wording in Bukhari might not be the exact same wording. That's why sometimes you see, yani the expression muttafaqun alayhi wa lafz lil Bukhari or lil Muslim. Yani both of them have collected the hadith, but the exact wording came from Bukhari, or it came from Muslim, or it came from Abu Dawud. Yani for an example of that that we should make note of is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, yani that these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, what is the hadith? Ma min ayyam al-amal as-salih fiha ahabbu ila Allah min hadhihi ayyam, yani Dhul Hijjah. That hadith, most of the people narrated it said from Bukhari. That wording is not from Bukhari, it's from Abu Dawud. That wording that most of the people mention is from Abu Dawud, not from Bukhari. Bukhari has a narration of the hadith, has the same meaning, but not those. That wording, yani that we said, Ya Rasulullah, wala al-jihad fi sabilillah, yani what about jihad fi sabilillah? He said, wala al-jihad fi sabilillah, illa rajulun kharaja bi malihi wa nafsihi. That narration is not from Bukhari, that wording is from Abu Dawud. So this is a point, yani, that we should make note of, appreciate it here, that sometimes the wording may be a little bit different, that's why we have to go back to original sources, go back to the primary source. Yani, so in Bulugh Maram, sometimes the wording is a little bit different. Now, there's no doubt. I mean, the people who collected these hadith, like Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, these people are huffaz. They memorize 100,000 hadith. So sometimes when they give a hadith, sometimes they might have a different word. It could be a different word, but it's not going to be, yani, a different meaning. But the word might be a little bit different here and there sometimes. And that could be because he has the wording of that hadith from various sources. From various sources. He memorized that hadith from 10 different sources. And the wording could be slightly different from here to there. So he might have given a wording from one place, but he mentioned, yani muttafaqun alayh. So let's go back and check sometime. Okay, this is like a benefit, you know, but it requires us to do some work, right? To really get the real benefit, it means that we have to go back to our sources. We have to go back to our sources. Okay, after this, I wanted to read from Al-Mulakhis Al-Fiqhi, from Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafizahullah, on page 261 and page 262. Okay, he mentioned some yani comments that yani are similar to the comments that we read 2 weeks ago, and then he mentioned some other things that are also of great importance, so we want to benefit from the secondary sources. And also, yani one of the benefits of reading from more than one source is that sometimes something that's not clear in one source becomes clear in another source, or something that's not mentioned in one place is mentioned in another place, or sometimes they might bring narrations of the hadith, different narrations of the same hadith with different wording here than it came somewhere else. He begins by saying on page 261, يَسْتَحِبُّ تَعْجِيلَ الْإِفْطَارِ, yani from the things that are mustahab for the fasting person, he says, إِذَا تَحَقَّقَ غُرُوبُ الشَّمْسِ بِمَشَاهِدَتِهَا أَوْ غَلَبَ عَلَى ذَنِّهِ بِخَبَرْ ثِقَ بِأَذَانِ أَوْ غَيْرِهِ. Yani Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan is saying, it's mustahab to hasten in breaking the fast, but he said, إِذَا تَحَقَّقَ, if and when a person is certain of the setting of the sun by actually seeing it, بِمُشَاهَدَ, that you actually saw the sun setting, or غَلَبَ عَلَى ذَنِّهِ بِخَبَرْ ثِقَ, or the person is relatively certain, relatively sure that the sun has set due to information that came to him from a person that is trustworthy. From a person that is trustworthy. Yani, because a trustworthy person has called the adhan or by other than that. Yani, if the mu'adhan is a trustworthy person, that we know he doesn't call the adhan until he's sure the sun has set, then you can go with that. So a person should, the original rule is that you should see the sun setting. Otherwise, If you got the information from a trustworthy source, by then or other than that, then this is also permissible. This is a benefit that the Shaykh has brought to us here to remind us. Don't be so lazy, relying on our watch and our clock and the set times and pre-stuff. But actually the original ruling is that we should see the sunset. If a person is not able to do that, then from a trustworthy source and so on and so on. And then he mentions the hadith of Sa'd ibn Sa'd that we read, Muttafaqun alayh, and then he mentions the narration, also the hadith Qudsi that we mentioned from Bulugh al-Muram, that the most beloved of my servants are those who hasten to break the fast. We put about Tirmidhi and Ahmad, Shaykh al-Bani said that it has some weakness. After this, the Shaykh says, was sunnah and yuftir ala ratab. We already talked about this, that the sunnah is to break your fast with fresh dates, if not, then dry dates, and if not, then with water. And then he mentions the hadith of Anas that we mentioned also previously. Yani the Prophet ﷺ used to break his fast. Look at the narration he brings from Anas. لِقَوْلِ أَنَسْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كَانَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُفْتِرْ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُصَلِّيَ. He used to break his fast before he prayed, yani the Maghrib prayer. عَلَى رُطُبَاتٍ, on fresh dates. If he didn't have it, then dry dates. And if he didn't have it, then he would take a drink of water, reported by Ahmed and Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi. His comment, the Shaykh's comment on this hadith, if he didn't find fresh dates, nor dry dates, nor water, aftara ala ma tayassara min ta'am wa sharab. Yani, if the person didn't find fresh dates or dry dates or even water, then break your fast with whatever is easy, whatever food or drink that you found. Yani, if a person didn't have any dates of any kind, nor did he have any water, can you break your fast with a glass of juice? It's permissible. With a piece of bread, it's permissible. Whatever you can find, you can break your fast with it. Naam. And this is also a benefit that the Shaykh is bringing to us here. Then he says, and this is really important here, he says, وَهُنَا أَمْرٌ يَجِبُ التَّنْبِيعَ عَلَيْهِ. Now, this is a matter that's obligatory for us to pay attention to. وَهُوَ أَنَّ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ قَدْ يَجْلِسْ عَلَى مَعِدَةَ إِفْطَارِهِ وَيَتَعَشَّى وَيَتْرُكْ صَلَاةُ الْمَغْرِبِ مَعَ جَمَاعَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ وَيَرْتَقِبْ بِذَلِكَ خَطَأً عَظِيمًا وَهُوَ تَأَخُّرْ عَنَ الْجَمَاعَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ وَيَفُوتُ عَلَيْهِ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ ثَوَابًا عَظِيمًا وَيَعْرِضُهَا لِلْعُقُوبَةِ وَالْمَشْرُوعُ لِلصَّائِمِ أَنْ يُفْتِرَ أَوَّلًا ثُمَّ يَذْهَبْ لِلصَّلَاةِ ثُمَّ يَتَعَشَّى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. Shaykh al-Albani also talked about this. The Shaykh is saying here that what? Some of the people, they sit at the table, ma'ida iftarihi, the place where he's going to food that he has for breaking the fast, and he eats his dinner, full meal, and he abandons the Maghrib Salat with the jama'ah in the masjid. Of course, you're talking about men, right? He didn't go to the masjid. When I first went to Sudan, some people invited us to break fast. It was Ramadan, and they were sitting in the courtyard in the middle of the houses. There's like a general area for all the people in that neighborhood, and they had a lot of food. And then we get to break the fast, and they're eating a lot of food. And I'm looking around trying to figure out what's getting ready to happen here, because we gotta go to the masjid, right? So I left. And they just stayed and ate and ate and ate. And then whenever they finish, they pray. SubhanAllah. I said, I'll never be accept another one of these invitations. This is nothing to say against Sudan. Sudan people, mashallah. Sudan people, very nice people, very hospitable people. And I had a lot of good experiences there, but that was the strangest thing I'd ever seen. That the people just, time to break the fast, everybody, the whole neighborhood sat in this general area, just everybody just ate. They ate for real, they abandoned Salat in the Jama'ah. Yeah. So this is something that we have to be careful from.
There's a masjid near my house, the whole entire year, for Salat al-Maghrib. Right after the Adhan, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Iqama right away, like you can't do anything, Iqama.
No.
Ramadan, 20 minutes these things, and then they pray the Maghrib.
Yeah. All year long, they make the Iqama immediately after the Adhan for Maghrib, and in Ramadan, they wait 20 minutes.
Shawwal comes again.
Yeah, 20 minutes is a bit long. We're going to talk about this a little bit further. In any case, the Shaykh is saying here what? That this is something that is incumbent that we pay attention to. The people who want to eat a full meal and abandon the Salat for Maghrib in the Jama'ah, in the Masjid, he said these people have committed a great error. That is, not attending the prayer and the jama'ah in the masjid, and they have lost out on a tremendous reward, and they have subjected themselves to al-uquba, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is legislated in Islam is that the fasting person break their fast first, and then go to the salat, and then يعني eat their meal after that. ويستحب أن يدعو عند الإفطار. Also, the Sheikh goes on to say, and let me just mention what Sheikh Al-Albani says about this while we have the subject in front of us. Sheikh Al-Albani says in Ikhtiyarat Al-Fiqhiyah, the Sheikh Al-Albani, page 227, point number 16, it is mustahab al-iftar, yani ma al-mustahab al-iftar alay. What is it that it is yani mustahab to break fast with? And he says, yani fresh dates, dry dates, water. And then a comment came here, the Sheikh mentions, وَجَاءَ الْحَضَّ عَلَى تَعْجِيلَ الْفِطْرَةِ لِقَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يَزَعَلُ النَّاسِ بِخَيْرٍ مَا عَجِلَ الْفِطْرَةِ. That is, that there came to us an encouragement to hasten and break in the fast based on the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the people remain on khair, goodness, as long as they hasten to break the fast. وَذَلِكَ بِالْمُبَادَرَةِ إِلَى الْإِفْطَارِ عَلَى لُقَيْمَاتْ يَسْكُنْ بِهَا جُوعَهُ ثُمَّ يَكُومُ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ ثُمَّ إِنْ شَاءَ عَادَ إِلَى الطَّعَامِ حَتَّى يَقْضِي حَاجَتَهُ. انظر الصحيحة, يعني volume 2, سلسلة حديث الصحيح, volume 2, page 93. The Sheikh says, it has come to us an encouragement to hasten the break in the fast based on the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'd رضي الله عنهم. He said, and that is done by hastening to break the fast with some small morsels of food. Look at that. Yani just a few bites of food to calm down the person's hunger. لِيَسْكُنْ بِهَا جُوَعُهُ. Because the person is hungry, so you eat something, a few bites, something to eat, a few dates or whatever, to relieve the person's hunger. ثُمَّ يَقُومُ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. Then the person has to get up and go to the prayer. Then, after that, inshallah, if you will, you may go back to the food and eat, yani take whatever yani you have a need of. So this is a very important matter, yani in different masjids, in different places, in different countries, and people do different things. What is legislated is that a person should break their fast immediately, once you're sure the sun has set, and then yani should perform the salat. For the men, they need to go to the masjid to perform the salat in jama'ah, and then come back and eat yani whatever you are in need of. And I say whatever you are in need of, because I don't say eat as much as you can. Eat what you are in need of. Naam. Naam, yani some space for food, one third for food, one third for drink, one third for air, yani so that you can breathe. Otherwise, when you come to the prayer in Ramadan, if it's in Ramadan, you won't be able to pray. Then the Shaykh, he says, it's mustahab also to supplicate at the time of breaking the fast with whatever you like. And then he mentions a couple of supplications here. And then finally, his closing comments, وَهَكَذَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُسْلِمْ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمْ أَحْكَامُ الصِّيَامُ وَالْإِفْطَارِ. So he said, in this way, it is incumbent for the Muslim to learn the rulings of fasting and the rulings related to iftar, وَقْتًا وَصِفَةً, the time of doing it, and the description of how it is done, حتى يؤدي صيامه على وجه المشروع الموافق للسنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is so that a person may be able to fulfill the fast, fulfill one's fast in the manner that is legislated in the Sharia, in accordance or in agreement with the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وحتى يكون صيامه صحيحا وعمله مقبولا عند الله تعالى فإن ذلك من أهم الأمور. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, and this is so that one's fast may be correct, so that it may be valid, and that one's deeds may be accepted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this indeed is from the most important of affairs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ahzab, 21st ayat, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُصْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرَةِ. Yani that indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah an excellent example for whoever's hope is in Allah and the last day, and who remembers Allah much. And I think the closing statements of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, is really important for us, that it is a reminder to us of the importance of knowing what we are supposed to do and how we are supposed to do it, so that our deeds will be correct, so that they will be valid, and so that, inshallah, they will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Yani, what could be more important than doing whatever act of worship we do correctly so that it will be accepted? Because if it's not done correctly, it is likely it will not be accepted. So what would be the benefit of fasting if it's not going to be accepted? What would be the benefit of praying if it's not going to be done correctly so that it will be acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And of course this requires doing it in the proper manner, and it also requires doing it with ikhlas. With ikhlas. Doing it correctly, yani al-mutaba'a, al-muwafaqata lis-sunnah, and also doing it with ikhlas. Okay, finally we're going to close with the comments of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sari al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiyah. And his comments are brief, but also, yani, he doesn't mention a lot of details about yani, those things that must have been fasting, but he mentions yani, the essential matters, and then he mentions some other points that are of great importance. Okay, the first point he begins with, and we're on page Fiqh al-Ibadat, Fiqh al-Ibadat, page 268, Adab al-Siyam. Adab al-Siyam. The question they asked the Shaykh, question number 149, Fadilat the Shaykh, Mahiya Adab al-Siyam. O noble Shaykh, what are the manners of fasting? Al-Jawab, Min Adab al-Siyam. Yani, most of the time, when somebody asks you what are the Adab of Siyam, people will talk about, yani, taking suhoor, delaying the suhoor, breaking the fast immediately, yani your behavior, yani your conduct, things like this. The Shaykh, he begins, the first thing he mentions, he begins, min adab as-siyam luzum taqwa Allah azza wa jalla. The first thing he mentions is from adab as-siyam, is observing taqwa of Allah azza wa jalla. Observing, yani sticking to, adhering to the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla. بِفِعْلِ أَوَامِرِهِ وَاجْتِنَابْ نَوَاهِيهِ. Yani by what? Doing the things that Allah has commanded and avoiding the things that Allah has prohibited. So here the Shaykh, he gives us advice, that's a general advice. And especially in fasting, that a person has to observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, what is the benefit of abstaining from yani food and drink that Allah has made lawful if we're not going to observe taqwa of Allah, abstain from those things that He has prohibited, and fulfill the things that He has commanded, that He has made obligatory upon us? So the first matter, he said, is sticking to the taqwa of Allah. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Yani he mentioned it as a proof for the importance of taqwa, especially in reference to fasting. O you who believe, yani fasting has been written, prescribed, ordained, made obligatory upon you, just as it has been prescribed, yani made obligatory on those before you, yani the nations before you who the prophets were sent to. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And I wish that I had brought yani the comments of Shaykh al-Albani concerning this particular affair, which tremendous comments that he made, concerning this, but in any case we're going to suffice with what the Shaykh has said here, yani that this is from the adab of fasting, yani sticking to the taqwa of Allah, because it is from amongst the most important goals or objectives of fasting, it is so that you may achieve a taqwa. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us clearly in this ayat that He has made fasting obligatory upon us, as He made it obligatory on the nations before us, so that you may attain a taqwa. And Shaykh al-Albani says, in summary, that if a person does not attain a taqwa from fasting, then they haven't achieved anything. There is no benefit from the fast itself, because the purpose is to achieve taqwa. So if a person doesn't observe taqwa, so what is the point then? What is really the benefit? Abu Bakr. It's not different, but the murad, the maqsood, generally in the Quran, the word la'alla, yani, the meaning of it is, yani, so that you will have something, not, yani, perhaps, but it's la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you will attain a taqwa. Naam, yani, fasting, its objective, its purpose, yani what Allah intends for you to achieve by fasting is a taqwa. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 183rd ayat. وَلِقَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ لَمْ يَضَعَ قَوْلَ الزُّوءِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلَ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Yani also based on the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم مَنْ لَمْ يَضَعَ يعني مَنْ لَمْ يَطْرُقْ. Whoever doesn't leave, abandon قَوْلَ الزُّوءِ يعني الكذب, lying and false speech, وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ and acting upon falsehood, وَالْجَهْلَ يعني ignorant behavior, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ, then Allah has no need, as some of the scholars said. It means that Allah has no need. Of course Allah has no need of anything or anyone. The meaning here, that Allah will not look at, Allah will not consider, meaning Allah will not accept. Allah will not accept that person's fast. فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ, Allah has no need, يعني to look at your fasting. Allah will not accept your fasting. He has no need for you to give up, yani, food and drink. If a person is not going to give up false speech and false behavior and ignorant behavior, then there's no need of giving up lawful food and drink. Okay, because the purpose of giving up the lawful food and drink for fasting is so that you will achieve taqwa, so that you will abstain from false speech and false behavior and ignorant behavior and these kind of things. That's the purpose. So if you don't achieve the purpose, no need. Allah has no need. Allah, yani, has not legislated it just to make you hungry. There's no need for you abstaining from food and drink. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari in Kitab al-Siyam, Bab Man Lam Yada Qawl al-Zuw al-Amal bihi fi al-Sawm. This is the first point that the Shaykh makes. Second point. And I want you to like think about the first point in light of the second point. Second point the Shaykh makes, when adab al-siyam an yukfir min al-sadaqa wal-bir wal-ihsan ila al-nasi la siyama fi Ramadan. فَلَقَدْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ وَكَانَ أَجْوَدُ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ هِنَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others. Yani from the adab of fasting, the second adab that the Shaykh mentions is not breaking fast, taking suhoor, none of that. The second manner related to the people of fasting is that they yukfir min as-sadaqa wal birr wal ihsan ila an-nasi, especially in Ramadan. But even, yani the point is, Shaykh is saying, even outside of Ramadan, person is fasting on the ayyam al-bid, person is fasting on yawm al-ithnain, yawm al-khamis, person is fasting outside of Ramadan, from the adab of fasting is that a person increase in giving charity and al-birr, yani being kind and good, dutiful to parents, for example. And ihsan, yani being good to the people, especially in Ramadan. Indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most generous of the people, and he was most generous in Ramadan when he used to be met by Jibreel, fayudarisuhu, and Jibreel alayhi salam used to study with him the Quran. Yudarisuhu, Quran. Yani he used to recite the Quran with Jibreel. Okay, the second point here is what? As-sadaqa wal-birr wal-ihsan ila al-nasi, especially in Ramadan. What is the relationship between the first point and the second point here? Naam, ya Mustafa.
A person who is taqwa is elevating.
Okay. A person who has a high level of taqwa, his taqwa is elevating, he will also have good deeds. He will also have good deeds. No doubt. Yani, if a person achieves taqwa, it has to be reflected in their action. Yani, it's not limited, taqwa is not limited to the heart, but it has to be reflected in a person's behavior. Naam. Beautiful point. Naam. What else? Huh? Remembrance of Allah. Remembering Allah a lot. Okay, but remember, yani, I also want, yani, I want a connection between the two. Yani, if a person has taqwa, he will remember Allah kathir. Okay, I'm going to come to you, Walid. Uh-huh. Okay, a person develop taqwa and study the Quran more. Okay, it will bring a person closer to the Quran. Naam. And acting upon it. Naam. Waleed.
The person who does those deeds, so the person who's giving charity, the person who's being dutiful to his parents, being good to the people, that will also increase his taqwa.
Doing those things, giving charity, being good to the people, being dutiful to parents is also. Any other point? Naam. Okay, the taqwa is primarily originally inside the heart, and then the sadaqah and bir and ihsan to the people is outward action. Now, good point, excellent point.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sadaqah, the bir and the ihsan is for the people.
This is the first thing that came to my mind when I read this. That the taqwa, that the shaykh is trying to always remind us of being salih and muslih. Yani of being, you know, worshipping Allah and being good to the people. Naam, adhan. Yeah, so, and returning to the comments of Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, you know, the thing that if you notice Shaykh al-Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, yani constantly, in every opportunity that comes, he's always reminding us that you have obligations first and foremost to Allah. But Islam doesn't stop there. What about your obligations to the people? What about the rights of the people? Allah's rights over us, and so do the people. The right of Allah is first and foremost taqwa Allah, and the right of the people follows that. Yani the rights of the people. As-sadaqah, wal-ihsan, wal-birr. So this connection is really showing us that the completion of Islam that is required is not sufficient for a person to fast in Ramadan and participate in the five daily prayers in the masjid and do all these things that are yani obligations to Allah and forget about obligations to the people. Yani al-ihsan, there's ihsan with Allah and the way you worship Allah, and there's ihsan in how you treat the servants of Allah. And this is the completion of the affair, and this is something that we have to try to keep in mind. Yani the Shaykh is always trying to bring us about back to this yani matter of yani don't think that you can just worship Allah without yani fulfilling the rights of the people. Naam.
After that point, I just saw another point that we can bring up is that the person has taqwa, which is, like we said, internal. That's the main thing, the internal. If you're successful in that, that'll lead to the external.
Naam. If a person develops their iman and their taqwa internally, no doubt the result of that is going to be the external behavior outwardly. There's no doubt. Yani the people who don't behave well, who are abusive, who are rude, who are cheaters, who lie, who steal, who do corruption, this is a clear indication of what's happening inside the heart. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, there's a piece of flesh in the body, if it is whole, the whole body is.
What is inside, outside?
Naam, what's inside is going to become manifest outside. We don't know what's in people's hearts, but we see their behavior. So watch out. What you show the people, you're telling them what's happening on the inside. Sometimes the inside is ugly, but people don't see it unless they pay attention. And then we know really what's happening inside. Allah only knows what's in the hearts, but we get an idea of what's happening inside from what we see being manifested outside. The Shaykh goes on to say, وَمِنْهَا يَعْنِ مِنْ أَدَابَ السِّيَامِ أَنْ يَتَجَنَّبُ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْكَذِبِ وَالسَّبْ وَالشَّتَمْ وَالْغِشْ وَالْخِيَانَةِ وَالنَّظَرَ الْمُحَرَّمِ وَالْاِسْتِمَاعَ لِلشَّيْءِ الْمُحَرَّمِ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ من المحرمات التي يجب على الصائم وغيره يجب على الصائم وغيره أن يتجنبها ولكنها للصائم أوكد. And this is another point. The Shaykh, he never failed to make this point when he talks about fasting. He said here, يتجنب يعني avoiding, stay distance from what Allah has prohibited upon us, like lying and verbal abuse, yani talking ill to people, cursing people, cheating, violation of trust, looking at that which is haram, listening to that which is haram, and other than that, from the things, al-muharramat, the prohibited things, which are obligatory on the fasting person and other than the fasting person to avoid. It's obligatory on the fasting person to avoid it, and it's also obligatory on the other than the fasting person. وَلَكَنَّهَا لِسَّائِمْ أَوْكَدْ. But for the fasting person, it is, yani, it's more,
befitting,
you can say, yani, it's more certain, definite, that these things have to be avoided. It has to be avoided by everybody, but for the fasting person, even more so. Why? Because, yani, if a person doesn't avoid these things while they're fasting, Allah has no need of them fasting. Now, the Shaykh, he says after that, closing, coming near the end, وَمِنْ أَدَابَ السِّيَامِ. Now he talks about the actual physical fasting stuff. مِنْ أَدَابَ السِّيَامِ يَتَصَحْرُ. Yani that a person takes suhoor, and that they delay the suhoor based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take suhoor, for indeed in the suhoor there is barakah. And from the barakah of suhoor, some of the scholars have mentioned, from the barakah of suhoor is what? From the barakah, what is yani the barakah in taking suhoor? Like, there's different barakah. From amongst them, what's obvious barakah from suhoor, Abdulaziz?
Ease
for the fasting person. It's obvious, right? A person has something for suhoor, it's going to be easier than a person who missed the suhoor. That's why some people, they get up and the fajr is already in, and they didn't get a chance to eat, they become yani almost destroyed. Like, how am I going to get through the day? Some people don't need suhoor. But generally, the human being, it's going to be some ease physically. Also, from the barakah of suhoor, that may not be as obvious, from the barakah of suhoor, we alluded to it earlier today. That the sunnah, that this is from the sunnah, from the barakah of suhoor, that a person actually is fulfilling that which is sunnah. And from the barakah of suhoor also, that we alluded to earlier, that a person, that this is also reminding a person, yani the suhoor is an indication that a person intends to fast. Naam? What else?
It attracts the pleasure of Allah.
It's something that's from the, it's pleasing to Allah, for sure. That's a barakah. Allah is pleased with it. And one last thing that we referred to earlier, and that is, yani from the barakah of suhoor, is that it enables a person to distinguish themselves from the people of kufr, from the Ahl Kitab. No. Yani, this is a distinction. And distinguish the people of Sunnah, the people of Islam, from the people of Sunnah. And the Shaykh closes by saying, min adabihi aydan, and also from the adab of Siyam, is that a person breaks their fast with fresh dates. If they couldn't find it, then dry dates. And if they didn't have it, then water. Wa an yubadir bil fitr. Min hina an yatahakkaqa gurub al-shamsi aw yaglib ala dhannihi annaha tarbat. بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزال الناس بخير ما أجل الفطر. And the Shaykh says, and also يعني from the adab of fasting is that you hasten to break the fast when you know, when you are certain that the sun has set, or at least you are relatively certain, يعني غلب على الظن, that the sun has set. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the people remain on good as long as they hasten to break the fast. And this is the end of what we wanted to discuss today from our secondary sources. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa iyyakum.